السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ادعوا إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن، صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله، صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله with the fazal karam and ihsan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are gathered once again on a Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. We can never ever thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough for the great bounty, great boon of iman, and then also when Allah Ta'ala gives us tawfiq to engage in good deeds. This is only the fazal, karam and ihsan of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's system, that from the time Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came into the world, from the time Nubuwat, or Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed of his nubuwat, from that time onwards, right up till this day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always took care of not only the physical needs, but also the spiritual, religious needs of the ummah. Whenever any deficiency, any weakness came about in the ummah, there was what we can call a vacuum being created or a void coming about, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always had his bandas, the rijal of the ummah, certain men, certain people that Allah Ta'ala used to get rid of that vacuum, get rid of that void, or to enlighten the ummah of various fitan, various trials, various different types of fitna, etc., that may be facing the ummah. Not very long ago, see, in the time of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had informed the ummah that music creates hypocrisy in the heart. Right? Now this much was sufficient for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and it was supposed to be sufficient for all of us. It was supposed to be sufficient. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. We love Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know that the most truthful person is Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so we're supposed to accept it and abstain, stay away from it. Right? Now, 50 years back, 25 years back, which one of us knew that each one of us will be able to walk around with a hi-fi in our pocket? Right? I mean, this cell phones, smartphones, etc. It can be like one little hi-fi in your pocket. Music will become so easily accessible. We didn't know it. Right? We didn't know that in 20 years time, 25 years time, music is going to become so accessible to us and to our children. But already 20 years, 25 years ago, Allah Ta'ala brought about a person in the ummah who then went and studied more deeper into this music story, and he already informed us that time that, look, we've got the ayat of the Quran Sharif, we've got the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and listen to what I am unraveling for you, the subliminal messages, the different shaitani sentences, etc., that is in music. We already warned 20-25 years ago. So at that time, Allah Ta'ala already made the intizam. Allah Pak knows shaitan's plan, that in 20 years time, 25 years time, this music is going to be at the touch of a finger, in a person's pocket. Right? So Allah Pak already made the intizam 20-25 years before, warning the ummah that look, this is what this music contains. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith sharif was supposed to have been sufficient. You didn't need anything more. But because of our weakness, this vacuum came about, that we don't have that type of yaqeen on the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this fitna is going to come. So Allah Ta'ala brought a person who studied this thing and informed us, showed us, as we would say in English, in black and white, that this is what this music contains. Right? So people who made tawbah, they made istighfar, they gave it up, they took it out of their homes, out of their motor cars, they took lesson. They took lesson, and their children, their grandchildren, etc., they're not exposed to this fitna. But those who still said, no, we'll take it easy, we'll see, or they got a little bit of a dumki for a short moment and then fell back into the sin, then they are trapped till today in this guna of music. Allah Ta'ala take us out. Now why I'm using this example is because it is something that we can relate to. It happened now in our time. Now like this, whenever there was a void, or whenever there is a fitna that is going to come up or something, Allah Ta'ala has His rijal. Allah Ta'ala brings His people forward. And they already forewarned the ummah. They already informed the ummah that look, we need to bring about change, we need to sort certain things out, otherwise we are going to just fall into a trap of the devil. Right? Now, just recently, in our province, we had an ijtima. Ijtima took place in Stanger. And just a little bit off the topic, some of you may have seen it, some of you may have not seen it, but one Hindu person from Stanger, he wrote, you know, you have all these columns in the newspaper where somebody can write and they will publish what you're writing, the readers' columns. So he wrote a little article and he sent to the local newspaper there. And what he wrote in that article is really heartwarming. He wrote there, he said that, I don't know the exact words now, but basically he was saying a thank you to the Muslims of Stanger, and he's applauding them at how well this whole event was handled, that although there were so many people there, but there was no traffic congestion, everything went off smoothly, and all the traffic control, everything was being done by the Muslims themselves. And with a smile, they were directing the traffic. And although there were so many people there, but there wasn't a big, so much of noise and drunken people and, you know, giving taklif to the citizens of the town, basically. So he's applauding the Muslim Ummah, you know, for a job well done in handling this ijtima that had taken place. Right? So this is, you know, Allah Ta'ala's fazal, that Allah Pak put it in this person's heart and he sent this article to the newspaper. So this ijtima has taken place, and before the ijtima, you will always have a build up to the ijtima, where you will have jamaats going around masjid to masjid. The local workers also will become more active, and they want to get this message out to each home that look, come to the ijtima, attend the ijtima, right? Now, that is before the ijtima. Then you have a spin-off. So after the ijtima now, because many jamaats come out, and jamaats are then sent to various places, different places, And you find that in the masjid now, there will be jamaats that will be coming. You know, all the different masajid, jamaats will be coming, more jamaats than normal. So sometime, people start questioning, people start asking, what is this jamaat work? What is it? This tablighi jamaat, this ijtima, this gush that takes place and all this. What is it? Why is this work there? What is it there for? What is the object of this work? I'm reading my namaz. Why are they coming by my door and knocking by my door? Don't they meet me in the masjid? They say I'm there in the masjid. Now why are they still coming by my door and knocking my door? What is the reason for this work? You see, one thing we cannot move away from is that this work is accepted in the eyes of Allah. That we can't move away from. Allah Ta'ala has accepted this work. Through this work, whether we like it or not, Allah Ta'ala is giving hidayat to thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Maulana Shabbir Saruji Sahab, our principal in Darul Uloom Zakaria, was giving a bayan recently on a different topic, but in that bayan he mentioned that an ijtima took place. I think he said in Madagascar or one of these countries, an ijtima took place. And through the barakat of that ijtima, about 20,000 people accepted Islam. Now you tell me, you show me in today's times, in which other effort are people entering the fold of Islam in these type of numbers? You tell me, you show me. Allah Ta'ala, this work is a very young work. This work of tabligh is very young. Islam, if we have to take it from Hijrat, 1436, 1436 years old. This work of tabligh is only about 90 years old. It's a baby. If you look at the age of Islam and you look at the work of tabligh, it's a baby. It's only 90 years old. But anywhere you go in the world, you will find that this work is active. It's active. Anywhere in the world you go, it is active. Is this not acceptance? Is this not the help of Allah Ta'ala? Then the beauty of this work is that nothing that is done in this work goes against our deen and shariat. The ulama, the akabirin, the elders who have formulated the usuls of this work, they are people who understand the Quran Sharif, they understand the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they understand the madahib, they understand da'wat in Allah, they understand all these things. They are extremely pious people, making dua, crying to Allah. They have formulated the usuls of this work. The barakat of this is anything that this work promotes. I'm not talking about a worker. I'm talking about the work. Workers, you will get deficiency everywhere. The problem with us is, if we are in a shoe game, for example, we're in the shoe game, we're selling shoes. In between, you'll get one supplier who's a little bit off. You order something, he gives you something else. He gives you his word about something, he do something. Do we close our shoe shop down? We don't close our shoe shop down. We say, no, all right, that one supplier, now we just have to leave him one side. Let's listen to the other suppliers, what they say. But why is it when it comes to deen, if one person makes one mistake, then we want to close down that whole chapter now? If one brother who is involved in tabligh, if he comes and tells us something maybe a little bit off, or his akhlaq maybe not too right or something, he never claimed to be perfect. Now if he did something that's a little bit off, this tabligh, the jamaat thing is not right, this tabligh people, they like this. Are, what did the work do to us? One person did something wrong. Every usul of this work, everything in this work, if you have to sit down with the elders, take the time out to go and meet them, take the time out to go and spend some time in the path of Allah, sit down with them and ask them, that you saying, I must go 4 months, where this came from? They will give you an explanation. They will give you a dini explanation that will satisfy you. You will ask them, now why I must go 3 days? They will give you an explanation why. They will prove it to you, give you a dini explanation why. Why I must go in gush, why I must do out gush, why I must do tanim? They will explain everything to us. Right? So we are gone beyond the point of trying to prove that this work is haq and this work is authentic. We've gone beyond that. I mean, a blind man can see it. Right? A blind man can see it. That this work is accepted in the court of Allah. If there's somebody in South Africa who's still sitting and he's saying that no, this work is not right, then bichara is an ostrich. He's got ostrich mentality. He got his head buried in the ground. The barakat of this work, how many people getting hidayat, how many masjids coming about, how many madrasas coming about, how many people accepting Islam. If a person still can't realize that, hey, you know what, this work is a great work. So we've gone beyond that. We're not here to prove that. We know already that this work is a great work, and Allah Pak has accepted it, and everything done in this work is haq. We've gone beyond that. That's not the reason for the talk. My question that we want to answer, the question that we want to try and answer today is, why did this work come about? Because we're saying Islam is 1,436 years old. This work, the manner in which it is done, is only 90 years old. Dawat was there from the time, from the first day Nabi Sallam got blessed with Nubuwat. Dawat was there from that time. Amar bil Ma'ruf Nahi Anil Munkar is there from that time. But to do it in this manner, in this way, this is about 90 years old. Now, why did this come about? As I explained to you just now, we didn't know 20 years ago, we didn't know that music is going to be accessible in each person's pocket. But Allah Pak already brought somebody 20 years ago to warn us what is in this music. Those who heard and made amal, they benefited. Those who ignored, never attend the programs, never want to listen, yeah, another person talking, they lost out. Right? So now, this particular work, if we have to go back, it's a pity that we don't have much time. Otherwise, you could have went a little more in depth. But if we have to go back, I'm going to talk in English dates because we are maybe a little more acquainted with the English dates. If we go up to the 1800s, right, in history, we go back to the 1800s, Islamic will be 1200 and something, right? You go back to the 1800s, we will find that up until that time, there was a lot of talab in the ummah, right? There was a lot of talab in the ummah. Even if a person was doing little bit wrong things, but he knew that, you know what, I got to change my life. He came to a point, nobody had to remind him. You go through all the eras of all the different empires, the different khilafats, Abbasid Empire, Umayyad Empire, go through the Turkish time, everything. You go through all of this, you will find that all branches of deen were alive. And there was a lot of talab in the ummah. You didn't have to remind the Muslim that you're a Muslim, bhai. The Muslim never had to be reminded that it's namaz time. He had talab in him, even if he had some weakness. But he knew that, hey, you know what, I got to make my changes, I got to come right. Right? However, when wealth and power shifted into the hands of Europe and America, right? When wealth and power shifted into their hands, when they became like the dictators of the world, right? And radio came about, slowly television came about. And they could get, Shaitan could get his message across. Shaitan could get his message across very easily through these mediums. Right? Then we find that when people started adopting this Western culture, this Maghribi Tehzeeb. You see, one is committing a sin, right? People committed zina all along. People drank wine all along. Murders took place all along. These are all sins, major crimes. But when a person was educated, when a person was given a punishment, when a person was educated, he made Tawbah and he came right. But when this Western culture has overtaken the world, then every community forgot their identity. Every community forgot their identity. This is why if we look around us, we see a person is calling himself a Hindu, but he's celebrating New Year's night. You ask him, "Bhai, what are you celebrating this thing for?" "No, it's New Year's." A person is a Christian, but he is doing things that go totally against Christianity. A person is a Muslim, but he has to be in the front line Christmas time, New Year's time, Easter time. An African person who is believing in the souls and he is believing he has to cut the coffin for the soul to come out nicely, he is giving his girlfriend a Valentine's rose in February. Ask him, "By where you got this thing from? Where it came from to you?" He is also doing it. On the day of February, when everyone is giving a rose, whether he's a Muslim, whether he's white, whether he's black, whether he's Chinese, he's Japanese, he's Australian, whatever he is, he's also giving a rose. He doesn't know why, but it's Valentine's, he has to give a rose. Come Mother's Day, we have to celebrate Mother's Day. This is what we're talking about. Maghribi Tehzeeb, a culture. They have brought a culture. A culture that is very, very enjoyable to the nafs. It's very, very enjoyable to the nafs. The nafs is very, very comfortable in this culture. And the mu'min's life is mujahada against the nafs. The believer, his whole life is, he's supposed to be making mujahada against the nafs. All our ibadat, everything in our deen goes contrary to the nafs. And this Maghribi Tehzeeb is in keeping, in line with the nafs. So when this Maghribi Tehzeeb came, then what happened to the ummah is the talab that the ummati had, the talab that the banda of Allah Ta'ala had, that you know what, I have to please my Allah. That ummati of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had the talab, that you know what, I have to follow the sunnat of my Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That left the ummah, the talab. Up until then there was talab. The talab left the ummah. The desire to be a good banda, that left the ummah. Wallahi, today you just listen to the vocabulary, listen to how we talk. Something that is nice, we call it wicked. I always say this. See how they've changed our mind. They've made a man wear pink and he feels proud. This is a tehzeeb. This is a culture. They have broken into our hearts. They are stealing all our values. They are taking everything from us. And we bring in them more and more into our home. I was telling our young students this morning that I was so sad on one day. I had to attend a nikah. And after the nikah, I happened to be traveling on the same road as where everybody was going to go to the hall. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala saved us from that fitna that we don't go to the hall. We go to the masjid for the nikah, but we don't go to the hall. Even if they say there's parda facility, we don't go to the hall. And I make dua, more and more of us get this hidayat. So, we are traveling, and behind us, there is a motor car, few motor cars with a bride. You can see in the rear view, they are hooting. So somebody in the motor car told me, said, you know what, this taxi fellow, they thought it's a taxi behind. He said, you rather just move one side, let them go. So I said, no, this is not taxi. It's some colored people having a wedding. Wallahi, these were the words I used. I said, this is some colored people, they're having a wedding. Now they're just hooting and performing. Like, we just carry on slowly. What made my heart sink is that bride that was sitting there was the same bride's nikah that was performed in the masjid. There was no sign to say that this is a Muslim people. This is this tahzeeb. So Allah Ta'ala knew that this tahzeeb is going to reach us. And it is going to take over our lives. The television is going to come in our homes. The radios, satellites, movies. They're going to promote their culture. So 90 years ago, before it became very strong, Allah Ta'ala raised a man in the ummah. And Allah Ta'ala inspired him that he formulated a work that this talab that has come out of the ummah, we have to now go and call the ummah. Before, the ummah was coming themselves to the masjid, we didn't have to call them. I don't want to be insulting, but if you tell me there's no need for this work, then why didn't we have a jamaat like this Fajr time? Where was the ummah Fajr time? There is proof right now, this second, that the talab is gone from the ummah. The talab is gone from the ummah. That's why the ummah was not here Fajr time. So before, the ummah was coming on their own for namaz. The ummah was coming on their own to the madrasa. Madrasa we were having on Saturday also. Then parents are not sending the children. So alright, let's cut it off till Friday. Because how are we going to teach the syllabus? Wallahi, now Friday madrasa has become like a holiday. Children are not coming. Where is the talab that my child must learn deen? I'm giving my child 6-7 hours of school, tuition at night, extracurricular activities, only 2 hours to go learn Allah's deen. That too is too much. The talab is gone. So Allah Ta'ala raised a man. Allah Ta'ala inspired a man. And Allah Pak gave him these ideas that you formulate this work so that somebody can go to the doors of my bandas, knock on the door and try and instill that talab again. The one who is knocking, the talab will come in his heart. The one whose door is being knocked, inshallah, the talab will come in his heart also. So, be talabo me talab paida karna. This is the reason for this work. This is the reason for this work of tabligh. There was a thirst, a vacuum going to come. Allah Ta'ala already created, Allah Ta'ala already brought about something to fill that vacuum. People who want to criticize, people who want to point finger, carry on doing it till Qiyamah, that will carry on. But people who want to look at things properly, then we will realize that this work is needed, this work needs to be promoted, we need to get engaged and involved in this work of deen and all works of deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me tawfiq, give you tawfiq, grant the entire ummah tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.